You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome back to The Stage Right Side. I am here with Reed and Harriet, Reed Bartlemy and Harriet Jung.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Were we on this at the Met?
Yeah, you did this once at the Met with one of the OG seasons from my dressing room. I'm going to do those again this year, folks. So get ready from my dressing room. It's impossible to find time when nobody else is in my dressing room, though.
We broke into Roberto Bolle's dressing room to record.
Exactly, yes. Oh, yes. I always break into Jillian's or Alessandra Ferri's or, like, you know, people who are, you know, not there as much as...
Yes. Did come in and was very gracious.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
You had a big white microphone.
Yeah, that's RIP to that. That is from 2005. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to fill you in on tour. It's been a while. It's been quite a long time since I did an episode of The Stage Right Side. And that is because I've been on tour, and I was hopeful that I'd be able to record on tour, but it's too much. I'm tired. Leave me alone, you know? So we did a tour to Orange County. We did Christopher Wheeldon's Winter's Tale, which is an adaptation of the Shakespeare play. And, you know, we have an expert on Orange County here. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Grew up in Orange County. I'm an Orange County girl.
Yeah.
Like, can't take it out of me.
Is that the Gwen Stefani song? Do you know that one?
No, I don't know.
I think she has a song about Orange County. That's where she's from.
But she is major Orange County.
And she went back. She went back to, like, MAGA city boots now.
I know. She is MAGA and religious.
And got her face completely changed. But who am I to tell her what to do with her face? But don't worship. No, I'm kidding.
She's married to a country singer.
Yes, Blake Shelton.
But before that, when she was like Orange County It Girl, she was part of No Doubt.
Which I adore still.
Love that album. Yeah. Tragic Kingdom.
I like all their albums.
Yeah.
Return of Saturn, Rock Steady, even their latest, Push and Shove. I really enjoyed No Doubt.
Totally. Did she wear a bindi and maybe she shouldn't have? Yes. But like... Now she's...
I mean, did Madonna dress up as a geisha? Yes.
You're right.
So, you know, we live, we learn. We move on. Like the songs, though. And she looked great.
She did.
So Orange County was great. I danced the role of Polixenes in A Winter's Tale. And I play a guy who, you know, the king of this, what is it, Sicilia, thinks that I'm... sleeping with his wife. I wasn't. He's just crazy, possessive. The shows went well. Audiences seem to really enjoy it. We're doing it at the Met this year. And so if you want to come see that beautiful production, come see us, get tickets via, you know, the link in my bio on Instagram or on abt.org, whatever. If you want tickets, you know how to get them because you have the internet and you're not a complete noob. My favorite thing about Orange County, other than the sunshine, is the food.
What's your favorite?
Mitsuo Marketplace, the Japanese marketplace, where you can literally get Japanese curry with a side of udon, with a side of ramen, with a side of gyoza. Like, they have everything you can want. And if there was one of those in New York City, it would destroy.
There's
it would make
one in
so.
Jersey.
Of course, Jersey. Boo.
I
hiss.
Know.
I'm not going there.
I know, we can't go there.
Is Orange County where you can get the noodles that Eric Kim talks
oh,
about?
Oh, absolutely.
What are they? Tell me more.
Jajangmyeon. It's a Korean Chinese black bean noodle.
I haven't had that.
Delicious.
It looks so good. I've never had them.
I need it.
Apparently, we don't have good ones in New York.
They do have one place we can go to in K Town.
What's it called?
But it'll be decent. It'll just be decent.
Well, it's like getting Chick-fil-A in New York City, which I would never do because I don't eat Chick-fil-A.
Nope. No one does here.
What other food do I like there? Down to DTF, Din Tai Fung.
Nice. What is
that?
Like a dim sum.
Yeah, it's dim sum. I think it's Taiwanese. Don't cancel me, but I think it's Taiwanese. The soup dumps are outrageous. They opened one here in Midtown. I don't know, in the past couple of years.
We saw one in London. We just didn't go, but we saw one.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's so good. Ooh, sesame noodles. The Xiaolong Bao. Kotobuta pork. How'd I do? I'm feeling like I'm teetering on the edge here. Well, the mall, the South Coast Plaza Mall, is really fun. It, as far as malls go, there's good just like Mex. Yeah, California Mex. Yeah, excellent. We'll talk about Tex-Mex in from Alabama. We'll get there. The audience was great. I feel like the audiences in California are super generous, whereas in New York, they're a little bit more reticent to be like, we liked it. You know what I mean? But I feel like in Orange County, they're just like, we loved it. We loved it. We're going to clap. They're grateful. Mm-hmm. And it feels really good. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that I still need that when I perform. And it's like, I mean, even in the studio all of the time, we're sort of left to our own devices as older dancers, which is nice to feel independent, but also it's nice to be encouraged and supported. And I feel like when you have an audience that is just like so willing to be there for you energetically, it makes a difference and it makes it easier to perform and it gives you confidence. Mm-hmm. So Slay OC, thank you for always supporting the girls. on tour, we usually have like a whole schedule where I wake up super early because of jet lag, and then I'll go get coffee and breakfast. There's this cafe there called Rooster Cafe, amazing food. And then there's class, and then we can rehearse up till like 5:15 p.m., and then the show's at 7:30 p.m. So they're long days. We're in the theater. The show is like about 3 hours, honestly. So we were in there till, you know, 10:30, 11 every night, and then doing it all again. It was hard, but it was good. Went well. Okay. So also on this episode, I filmed some stuff from the makeup room in Orange County, and I'm going to share that with you now. Rena Most is the head of wigs and makeup, and I chatted with her a little bit about the makeup, and, you know, you'll see. Roll the clip. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. I'm here in the wigs and makeup room with wigs and makeup directress Rena Most. What would you call yourself, the director or the head of the department? What do you call it?
Yeah, hair and makeup supervisor.
Supervisor, okay. The head honcho. And this is Cassandra Trinari. She's dancing the role of Hermione. And I'm dancing the role of Polixenes in The Winter's Tale. Not to be confused with A Winter's Tale, which is about a young man who is born with a vestigial tail still intact, and it happened in the winter time, and this is the boy I'm talking about. Is there anything you want to say to my listeners, Tyler Maloney?
I'm a lefty.
Tyler Maloney is a lefty, and so nobody knows his trouble. Nobody knows his sorrow. Okay, can you tell me what products you're using right now on Cassie's face?
She's right
like
now,
she's like makeup.
Makeup. MAC.
Uh-huh.
I think this is espresso.
Cool.
We use espresso. A combination of MAC and NARS.
And Makeup Forever. Yeah. It's Sunday morning. We have a 1 p.m. show. We're feeling pretty drained from the week. We had about 400 tech rehearsals. And it was kind of a lot, wasn't it? Wouldn't you agree?
It was a long week, yeah.
Yeah, and thankfully...
Texts are always long.
Jake Roxander, we know her.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going? You're dancing what today?
Florizel.
What does that mean?
I'm the prince. I'm your son.
Yeah. Yep. I'm daddy.
The one that abuses me.
Oh. Again. Just kidding. For those just listening to audio, they're going to be like, what is happening in here? So I recommend everybody watch this episode on YouTube.
This is just what the hair and makeup room looks like.
Yeah, it's always really chaotic. Tyler's in a good mood. Yeah, Tyler's just shaking breast at me right now.
Warm up. Wow, they're really going.
They're juicy.
It's like Baywatch.
You've got the, you got them heavy naturals.
Yeah, really. Wow.
So we did our first show on Friday night, and we had yesterday off, and it's our
some of us have.
Well, yeah. No, I'm talking about like, you know, the cast you see in the mirror right now, and thankfully after today we have a little break. Clear.
Yeah. What do you want, Jay?
Oh, you've only got one eye done. So Claire Davison is playing the part of
Paulina.
Yes, not to be confused with Paulina.
Not Paulina, Paulina.
Paulina. Okay. Rhymes with?
And Ashley is doing the hair and makeup on beautiful Claire today, who is essentially the star of the show, I'd say. Like, you carry the most
Absolutely.
Story.
I'm the Drosselmeyer.
Yes! And you have a one eye patch on right now. Trissy, what happened?
Relive the trauma.
Yes, tell me your trauma.
So yesterday, I was going in to do this role with
Stuart.
With Tom. Mm-hmm. And I've never done it with Tom. And so I don't know how Tom plays the scene or anything. He also forgot to get his aged makeup.
Yes.
So Rena was in the wings, like frantically trying to make him look old. And Tom was asking me, How much time do we have?
Uh-huh.
And we had, like, from the beginning of the scene, we have about a minute.
Uh-huh.
He asked me, we had, like 20 seconds. So I kept updating him. I'm like, okay, Tom, we got, like, 15 seconds. Okay, Tom, like, 10 seconds. Like, we gotta go. And we get on stage, and we start doing it, and I realize I have to pull out some money and pay some musicians, and I realize I didn't bring the money bag on stage. And I only realized that as I reached into my coat to pull out the money bag.
And this is a plot point also, so... Trissy pays off this group of musicians to give us, like, disguises to pretend to be musicians, because I'm the king.
Yeah.
And Tristan is the steward, and we don't look like bohemian peasants.
Right, so we need their clothes, we need their instruments. And so I reached into my coat, realized, and I didn't know what to do. I had about two counts to figure out something, and I just froze. Yeah. I looked at Brady, who's doing the thing, and I was like, Brady, I don't have the money bag.
Yeah.
And I pulled out nothing, and Brady took nothing. Shook nothing. We looked at each other. We just shrugged. He gave us a
clothes. Oh man!
And I knew it was bad, and it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is traumatic. We've all been there. One time, I forgot to bring the rose out for the rose pas de deux in Don Q Act One, as Basilio.
Oh, that's pretty.
And I was like, cool. I have nothing to give Keytree right now, so I was just like, sorry.
The next show last night, Luis was doing steward.
Yeah.
He reaches into his coat to get the money bag. And realizes his coat's inside out and he can't find the money bag. Yeah. And so he also had to pull out nothing.
You had to mime it?
Give them nothing.
Jinx.
It was cursed. It was
Everyone
cursed.
Said no money. The eggs are too expensive and now we don't have money.
And we're all behind the tree. Like all the Bohemian couple, we're all behind the tree waiting for that musical jingle of the bag. And both shows, there was no jingle.
No jingle.
I'll shake it like this and I'll go chick, chick, chick. To the audience, and they'll go, ha 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 ha, 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 hubbub, hubbub. Like, no one hubbubs like the New York audience, though.
That's true.
They're like, hum. If you sit in the audience, which you never can,
I never do. Tell me.
Like, if there's something funny or like mildly amusing or something amazing, technically, there's hubbub. Hubbub.
Sometimes the hubbub is a candy wrapper.
Oh yeah, or the symphony of sneezing and coughing.
Yeah.
Which after COVID is really See you next time on the stage right side after this commercial break for something I can't pick. So I'm sorry if it's not something you're interested in. Ha ha! Hubbub, hubbub.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Okay, I'm back with Rena. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. I'm going to try to be loud enough for y'all. It's half hour call, and I'm getting into makeup, and I have, this is crazy. For the prologue of The Winter's Tale, I have to wear tights and then ballet boots, which are leather and go up to my calf, and then I have to put another pair of tights over my tights and boots and put ballet shoes over my two pairs of tights, a pair of boots, and, you know, like ballet shoes or whatever.
That's too much.
And then I have a quick change that's approximately like 90 seconds, and I have to change everything, get down to the boots and the tights, put on a whole different tunic, crown. I have to get like, I bring out a purse. It's chaotic. So yeah, it's a lot to do, but I had a great time in my first show, so I hope I have fun again. You've been at ABT now for like...
long time.
How many years?
Full-time 10, mm-hmm. And then I was with them part-time in New York for 5 before that.
And you were doing Broadway before that, right? And you
just No, I actually was Broadway after this.
Really?
Yeah.
And you were on Wicked, right?
Yes, I sub in at Wicked. Mm-hmm.
And so, still, right?
Yes,
still?
Yes. I'll be there next week.
Really? And yes. What do you do there? Because I know what you do here.
Yes, so... Broadway works a little bit differently, where you do more specific tracks, where here we do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I do some wig tracks at Wicked, but uh-huh. I primarily do the makeup track. Mm-hmm. So just like a substitute teacher, if the full-time makeup artist there needs a night off, gets sick, vacation, I fill in for her.
Okay.
But you have to train. So there's 5 tracks at Wicked, 3 wig ones. Four wig tracks and 1 makeup track.
Mm-hmm.
And I know 2 of the 4 wig tracks and the makeup.
Mm.
And like I said, it's just like you fill in just like a substitute.
Do you pretty much get overtime every show or what?
At ABT.
Joelle, icon legend, Brazilian queen. At Wicked. Because we get overtime a lot here because we do insanely long days.
Oh, so no. Close your eyes for me. When I fill in there, I usually just do a show call. So a show call is just either a standard rate or like a pro rate.
Okay.
If I work there all week, a full week, you do usually get some overtime,
yeah.
Depending on the contract, depending on the week, if there's rehearsals. But as a substitute, you don't make as much overtime. You just make flat rates.
Okay. And it's really interesting at ABT, like, when we go into the theater, we have so little time to tech shows and get them up that we end up, like, we have, like, built-in overtime, essentially, where we'll work, like, all day and then do opening night, where per our contract, we can't rehearse for more than 2 hours on show days without getting overtime.
I think that's similar for other shows and different unions and different companies have slightly different clauses, but I do think there are similarities.
Well, we never had that in Boston. Like, I feel like I got overtime like twice in my 10 years in Boston, but it's just built in here. Like, we're just expected to work longer. Andrew, the icon, diva, Andrew Aubert. 25 to watch. Are you 25 to watch yet?
No.
All right. Well, she's the one to watch. Did you work under Reva?
I did.
Okay, wait.
Well, actually, no. I worked alongside Reva.
Okay. So she was... Reva is the former wigs and makeup director of ABT. She retired, I'd say... like 8 years ago, maybe?
Longer, almost
really?
11.
Oh my God. What am I doing? Closing.
Almost 11 years ago, and then I actually came under my predecessor, which overlapped with Reva,
okay.
Which was Jeffrey.
Yes, yes. So, Reva was, she was Russian, right?
Georgian,
okay, sorry.
Yes.
And I only worked with her here for a couple of years before she retired, but I'll never forget. She used to do my jawline like this, like with a hard line here, because she would be like, your face is too long. So she would just like draw like a shelf of contour under my chin.
I'm not going to say the name of the company, but while I was doing YGP, there was somebody approached me and they said, oh, we'd love to have you at this company. Like, we think, you know, we have a great makeup and hair team. We can make it look like there's nothing wrong with you.
Block it. She has a disability called ugly.
So what was your experience working with Riva and then under Jeffrey?
A lot of things. I learned a lot.
Like what?
Everything. I was young. I had a solid base knowledge in hair and makeup, but actually mostly makeup. I started with makeup first. Mm. And then when I started getting involved with ABT, they needed assistance with hair, and yeah. I didn't do hair.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, well, now's the time to learn.
Yeah, get it together.
And my predecessor taught me a lot. He taught me all the basics.
What are some things that are different for ballet as opposed to like opera or Broadway or whatever?
So I'd say, for makeup, we are still doing a lot of like old school techniques where we
in ballet,
like where we go really heavy on makeup, especially for
look at this beautiful makeup. Come here, diva. I mean, can you believe it? You look gorgeous. Are you kidding? Look at this elegance. What is old school like? Just overdrawn eyes and like
So we still do pretty exaggerated makeup for the stage, which a lot of Broadway and opera have toned down to make it more HD friendly because they're filming a lot more. Where we still do it for large stages.
I mean, when I see a person who doesn't wear makeup, when I see people who don't really wear a lot of makeup on stage, and then someone comes out with like a full beat, I'm like, they look so beautiful.
Like,
I always feel cool.
Yeah, I think especially because we work on large stages, it works really well, and our lights are pretty harsh. So heavy makeup works for us, especially with aging.
Yeah.
The ballet world likes to cast 25, 30-year-olds to play like 90-year-old men.
And they also like to have 40-year-olds play 16-year-olds.
True.
So
we make people look old, we make people look young. That's super fun.
Don't film me with my crusty lips. I didn't get any gel on them yet.
Okay, we'll do
and they
that right
are
now.
Stricken with powders.
They don't look terrible, actually. I just did first act. It was so hard. I'm here with Isadora Loyola.
You did it, babe.
Oh, thank you. And Skylar Brandt. And we're getting ready for second act. I have to get into old face because I'm 60 years old, I believe, or something. I don't know the exact year. Do y'all know?
It's
45.
It's
16.
Like
15
years.
Oh, okay. So someone said 16 and I heard 60. What do I know? I'm just a mummer. All right, I'm getting old with Ashley. That's the new name of this podcast, Getting Old with Ashley. See, I'm getting some gray put into my hair. I've got some wrinkles put onto my face. And I had some highlight put into my jowls. Lucky me. Your makeup looks gorgeous. You look stunning. Are you ready to kick and twirl?
Yeah,
last one. So Rena's going to take a photo of my old face so that for the book, which is, can you define the book, Rena?
Yeah, we call them Bibles.
Uh-huh.
And it's all show Bibles. So everything you would need to know about the show.
Jesus. Yeah.
Hair and makeup related. So we document all our characters, different acts.
Okay.
So we know, so if one of us is not here or we're teaching a new crew, we can show and tell them everything they need to know.
Do this, points to photo. It's very like, I'm in Beijing and I can't read the menu.
This is actually the very beginning of the Bible. I will fully make the Bible once we return and I have time.
There it is.
So these are from the Royal.
Oh yeah, those. Here, I'll hold this so you can see.
Yeah, so different characters. Cool. And then I'll write all the notes. I'll write all the quick changes.
Cool.
So that's what I do on my time off.
Another little special tidbit I have for you is doing Cassie's eyebrows in the bathroom at ABT. She wanted me to dye her eyebrows because I have beard dye because my beard is almost completely gray. And I told her about Just for Men. And she was like, she had her eyebrows dyed bleached for a photo shoot. And so she was like, I'm sick of having like strange Gen Z brows. And so I dyed her eyebrows in what we call the poop closet at ABT. There's one private bathroom on the whole second floor. And it's where, you know, people go to do their midday business.
How did it come out?
The poop? No. Brown, both. Yeah, it came out great. Roll the clip. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. I'm here with ABT principal dancer Cassandra Trinari, also known as Cassie.
Hello.
You may know her from the stage and screen. Okay?
Okay.
We are in the bathroom, in also known as the poop closet at ABT. So on the second floor of ABT Studios is a private bathroom where literally 98% of the building poops.
There's only one place to go.
And because it's nice, it's private. Otherwise, you have to poop next to people like you're in middle school.
Yeah.
So this is the poop closet. But today, instead of pooping, we're going to be dyeing Cassie's brows back to a natural brown. So she had them dyed blonde for a photo shoot.
We bleached them for a photo shoot, and it was a really fun moment. I was like, who's that lady? I felt like, not Megan Fox, who's the other one? You know the
Lindsay
one.
Lindsay Lohan?
No, but that would be iconic too. the Uncut Gems.
Oh,
Kanye.
Julia Fox.
I had a moment, it was fun. And then they were dyed back. Thank you, Ally Smith Makeup. Shout out, Ally Smith.
Shout out to Ally Smith.
Shout out to Ally Smith.
I don't know if you're listening or watching on YouTube.
She will. She's fab. And so now we're here. I think they faded because my derm has me doing some, like, you know, things to my face. And now it's changing the color of the brows. We've got brow highlights, I think. It's not cute. It's not what I want.
We're going to use this Just for Men beard dye, which I use on the grays in my beard because, you know, I'm 40.
Can I just express my fears? Just a couple of fears.
Why?
Well, what if, how do you know that they're not going to be too dark?
Well, I did mine last night. Are mine too dark?
You did your brows?
Yeah.
Oh, they look great. Okay, I trust you. I didn't know if I trusted you. Now I know I trust you.
I did my brows and I did my beard last night, so here we go.
Today was a pretty easy day.
We worked yesterday, Diva.
We ran The Winter's Tale yesterday. James and I are in the same cast. Thank goddess.
Thank Cher.
I am Hermione in The Winter's Tale, and you
Not
are...
Not Harry Potter.
No. Oh, Hermione, no!
Wrong. He's going to sacrifice himself.
So, Chris needs to make Harry Potter the ballet next.
He might.
Ooh.
However, you know who must not be named? It's not Voldemort. It's J.K. Rowling.
True.
So, today I rehearsed Neo with Bella. And that's a Rotmonsky dance. Let's back up a little bit so we're both in the frame.
Okay,
chin up, please. So, what I'm doing now is I'm taking my beard dye and I'm tapping it into her brows and trying to really just follow the natural line of her brow. The poop closet actually doesn't smell like poop for once.
Yeah, we did good.
We are so blessed.
Also, this dye doesn't really have a scent either.
It's very mild because it's a temporary dye. I'm gonna get these little cuties up here too.
No.
The extras.
I wish that they were more full. I wish they were more vivacious, but I was a child of the early aughts wax.
The wax and pluck girls.
The wax and pluck girls. You know them, you love them. To answer your original question, I did a little upper room rehearsal today. Should we not have Vaselined my skin or anything?
No, I think your natural oils are probably good. Close your eyes.
Did you hear him? She said, you're oily AF.
That's good.
I am, though. It's true. We're working on it.
No, it's good. Don't work on it. I think the oils are correct. So, folks, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but this stuff works great. And you just leave it on for 5 minutes. That's all it takes. It's 5 minutes. Did you take Isabel Guerin's class this morning?
I did. Isabel she is the chicest, most fantastic ballerina in all of the land. She comes in, she has these beautiful chic outfits on, she's got her jewelry. She was in Etoile at the Paris Opera, like the iconic years. And now she coaches a lot of us and she does the hardest point exercises you'll ever do in your life. So humbling, these amazing bars. Bar exercise is how we start our day.
She spits amazing bars. She's a really great rapper. I also love, I love when teachers have that like generosity of energy as well.
Yeah.
They're so into it, and yeah, she's always so inspiring. Even if you show up and you're not like feeling physically great or you're not super ready to work, she gets you going.
Yeah, it's true. I always come in like it's always on a Friday and you're always exhausted and you don't know how you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
But she really just makes you feel like you can.
Yeah.
Even if you're exhausted. It's true. All of that. And you don't feel as self-conscious. Like I find sometimes I'll walk into a ballet class and I immediately feel judged by a teacher, even though that might not be their intention. It's really me judging myself.
Yeah.
But she has a way of making you feel like it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
And that's really a rare quality. So we love her.
I walk in every day knowing I will fail. And it's great. It's just great to start at failure because the only way is up.
Yeah. Starting at failure.
And also pliés are my worst step.
We hate pliés.
Too hard.
Yeah, especially if you're knee girlies like us.
Tendon anus.
Oh my god, wait, that got dark so fast.
No, it's just what it is.
Wait. Oh no. This is scary looking. James, am I going to be okay?
All right, so I'm going to go get your Cetaphil now, and you're going to wash your face.
And
all right?
That's it? Okay.
And that's it. So sit here for like one more minute, and I'm going to say adieu. All right.
Adieu.
We'll have to have you properly on so we can do actual talking.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you.
Speaking of Cassie, we're back, by the way, on the stage right side. Cassie had her first solo photo exhibit at the Privy Gallery in the Lower East Side. And she had about 100 photos printed out and put up on the walls for sale. And it was a beautiful party. And, you know, it ran for this whole week. And I don't know. I want to see her get a book deal. And I want to see more shows from her. I can't wait to see what she does in the coming years when she moves to Vienna. It's all going to be beautiful things. So if you don't know her photography, follow Pearl Takes Pics on Instagram, or just follow her at Cassandra Teneri. She usually cross posts and stuff. Incredible photos and really capture what it's like to be in the space backstage and in the studios and more. I have you here and I'm going to talk to you in a minute, but it's been a while. So I'm just like doing house. What do they call it? Keeping house?
Housekeeping.
Keeping house.
Keeping house.
I was like, I'm doing the like German version. Keeping house. Who's that?
My Korean housekeeper that I love.
Oh yeah. She's like, watch me clean out my fridge today and you'll watch it for 3 hours.
Yep.
You're interesting. So I went to Boston and went to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Have you been to that?
No.
Oh, man. We went to it. It was so magical. Before tour, like between tours or something, between Minneapolis and OC, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so beautiful. If you haven't been to the Gardner Museum in Boston, it's an eclectic collection of a rich family, essentially. And it's in this lady's house. She has since passed, but when she died, she said she did some like deal with the city of Boston, was like, you can have all this, but it has to be open to the public and you have to like maintain it and you can't change a thing ever.
Is it free?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I think it probably costs a lot to maintain and run.
Yeah.
And so it's like virtually unchanged. It's so random and there's like no plaques or anything. You just are in there looking at beauty.
Stuff.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful atrium in the center of the building with the most gorgeous nasturtiums in full bloom. Tell me you're gay without telling me you're gay. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I saw Miko, my old boss, and he was so nice. We had a little chat at the studios. Yeah, on purpose. Oh, okay. I'm trying to get that commissioned, Eva.
I just thought maybe you ran into him at the museum.
No. As I continue to try and get more work, I continue to try to get more work.
One time when I was like 11, I was home for a weekend and my mom we went to the Met Museum to see a Seurat exhibition with her boyfriend, and we ran into the president of the American Boy Choir School, who was there with like a date, and he was wearing jeans and boots. And it's like weird that I remember this, but it was so crazy. I was like, oh my God, you're like a person.
Yeah.
And I remember even little thinking like you're a sexual person.
Yeah, because he looked kind of hot.
He looked different. Yeah. He was with a date.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating.
Was he hot?
I think so. Yeah.
This is the school that Reed went to, by the way, right? You went to the
one. Yeah, but I only knew him to like be in a suit.
Yeah.
And like live in this weird house just on the edge of campus.
Yeah.
The president's house.
Sounds so John sexy. I'm just a little singer. Teach me, daddy.
keep going.
So it was great to see Miko. He was really sweet. Then next up, saw Kylie Minogue in Boston as well at the museum. No, I'm kidding. In concert. In concert. And it was so funny. Her earpiece was not working for like the first two or three songs. And she was furious. Ooh. She was literally like standing there being like tapping her ear thing, being like, I don't know, like I can't hear anything. Because it's a bajillion people screaming in an arena. And so I could just tell that she was like not having it. But then it started working and she was like, sorry, I couldn't hear anything. Like, love you guys, let's keep going.
Was she singing through the not hearing?
Yeah. But she would like try and then be like, oh, sorry, like I can't hear what I'm doing. So it's just a cat in the bathroom, you know?
Yeah. I love an award show where they have to rip out the earpiece and be like,
yeah,
that's not happening.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I don't understand what it all means, but it's not for me to know.
No.
So next up on our tour stops was Minneapolis. So I was not scheduled to dance in Minneapolis. We were doing Giselle. And 3 days before we left, one of the dancers was not able to do the show. So they called me, Susan called me, the directress, and she said, are you able to put Giselle together in three days? And I said, well, I'll try.
And you were not meant to fly to Minneapolis.
No.
Did they bring an extra principal dancer for just in case?
Not really, no.
Wow. But
sometimes they do. That's a lie. Sometimes they do.
But they would just generally have like the other cast do it again or something.
A lot of the times, yes. Needed to perform or something. Yes. So there were only two shows, and so there were two casts going in Minneapolis. It was like a Friday and a Saturday show or something, and so one of the dancers had gotten injured the previous week and was not able to perform with Jillian. And I've danced a lot with Jillian, so they were like, "All right, can you do this?" So I had to put Giselle together in 3 days. It was really painful, but I was proud of myself for getting it together.
My friend Laurel saw, she texted me and said you were beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Laurel.
Laurel Keane.
To Laurel Keane, a very, very grand thank you.
No. And what happened since you like took this emergency like job on? Is it like...
Nothing. I get paid the same amount.
Okay.
It's like you don't get a bonus or anything.
You got a little per diem.
I got it like, you know, $50 a day, which was nice to buy myself a bagel.
And Minneapolis is nice.
It was great. I was there for two whole days. Oh. We arrived. We arrived the night before, like at evening time. And then I did the show the next night.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I did a spacing rehearsal of act one and then just did the show.
Are you like traveling in compression garments or you're...
No, I'm like, it's weird. I've been doing this a long time and I've tried everything and everything is completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
My body works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And a sock isn't going to change that.
Yeah. It just happens that Laurel Keane, speaking of one of the dancers, who really needed compression garments for travel.
Yeah. Also, I'm like this. Like some people have like juice in their body. And I'm completely desiccated. So
you are beef jerky.
I am absolutely like Crave brand, like silica packet intact.
Yes.
Like CVS jerky.
You are beefy jerky.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Teriyaki. It's nice. So, but the show went really well. I love dancing with Jillian. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's retiring this year. I think it's already sold out, her retirement show, but if you're able, it is. If you're able to, I don't know, S-A-D to get in there, like, by all means, do it. Yeah. Okay, so that was great. Minneapolis was weird, though. We went to that thrift shop, remember? And there was, like, all these... Okay, I'm confused. It felt like, you know, I don't know what it's like conservative versus liberal wise in Minneapolis, but we went to a thrift shop and there were these like obviously queer people running it. And me and my friends were in there and I, for some reason they hated us and they were outwardly like sort of just rude and short with us. And it was very strange.
Well, also to a group of that, like people that were, what I think, like we were clearly also queer.
We were queer and we, it was like low key diverse, you know, like I was like, what can you be mad about? Like what, really we were not wearing masks.
Like, were they wearing
were
masks?
They wearing masks?
Yeah.
Interesting. But to be fair, their sign said.
Only on Friday.
We wear masks on Fridays.
Yeah. It was the Thursday.
They,
you can't come in unless you're wearing a mask on Fridays.
Why?
It's for their masks, like their mask preference shoppers.
Right. So like, oh,
vulnerable
I see,
folks
I
can come in on Friday.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Get a grip.
For bags.
Yeah.
What kind of bags?
The stuff you bought.
Yeah, we bought a bunch of stuff at this great. It was they had a great selection. You know, you go outside in New York City, the vintage shops are they're so sly.
They haven't been, you know,
picked over by NYU students.
Although, L-Train Vintage, new discovery for me in near our studio in Williamsburg.
Mm, I haven't been to that one.
It's like a warehouse of stuff, and it's pretty good.
If you have the patience.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you need to want to.
You have to pour.
You know, sometimes people are just having a bad day. And it has nothing to do with
That's
us.
True. It was multiple people that seemed to have a very pointed bad day.
All were hating.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, can we be nice to each other? We're queer. I'm gay. Gay! Yeah, I wanted to talk about that for a minute. Also, if you're in Minneapolis, go to Quang. I don't know how to pronounce it. Quang Vietnamese. The pho there was some of the best I've ever had. Quang. Quang. Shout out to Minneapolis. And the audience there was fire as well. We love to see it.
Minneapolis.
Sold out shows, both of them.
Do you feel more appreciated on tour, like consistently?
I mean, from an energy exchange standpoint, kind of. I mean, but nothing really beats like a packed Swan Lake or something at the Met where it's like 5,000 people screaming after Black Swan. Like that slays.
Yeah.
But we don't always get that. Like we're doing a mixed rep and they're like, I didn't really like that. New York audiences can be pretty savage. If they don't like something, they're gonna sit down and put their hands down.
Nobody boos though.
They used to.
In the olden days?
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
You remember booing?
Not, I haven't been booed to my knowledge, except for in journalism.
We've all been booed in journalism.
Yeah. But you know, thick skin, baby. Okay. I promise I'm going to talk to you. I went to Korea. I sat in row 53 on the way there. The guy next to me threw up. The shows were good. I did Neo. The food was amazing. The shopping was amazing. I came back from Korea. I'm just going to keep this moving. And then I did a secret photo shoot for something I can't tell you about. It'll come out soon. Stay tuned. It's really cool. And it was an honor to do. I don't think I told you all about this. He knows about it. And then I flew to Alabama. So I was away for a long time. I was in Korea, flew back for one night, did this photo shoot in the morning, flew out that same night to Alabama to start or to finish my piece for Alabama Ballet. I felt like fancy, you know, like I felt like, oh my God, I'm Beyonce. Yeah. So get to Alabama. I have 3 weeks there to create the rest of a piece that I was making with the music of FKA Twigs, and Reed and Harriet designed the costumes for the piece. And so can we just talk about the experience we had in Alabama? And why are you laughing?
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to tell them about our meals, about all our like cuckoo meals.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me what the design inspiration was. I feel like Harriet, you should take this.
When you told me or us that it was FKA Twigs music, mm-hmm. I just kind of stalked her for a little bit, like on the gram and just online. And there was this specific image, which we could show at some point.
Mm-hmm. My editor, who I don't have, can put that in.
There's a specific image of like a very voluptuous big tits like you like.
Mm-hmm.
Super big, like
it's true.
Huge, mm-hmm. voluptuous. Big bosomed woman with like
a black hood mm-hmm. and some sort of lingerie type black top.
Mm-hmm.
And that just triggered something.
Was it part of a concert of hers or something or a video?
It's just an illustration.
Huh. That you found on the internet?
Yeah, she put up on her gram.
Uh-huh.
And I just liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And then that combined with, you know, as designers, we are absorbing and looking at many things constantly. That combined with, I saw something else with these long gloves, and I was like, yeah. This is it. And then I wanted like stocking like unitards mm-hmm. over it, like a dark kind of dusty color over mm-hmm. it, and that's basically what happened.
And so talk about the layers of the costume, because throughout the dance there are, you know, modifications to the costumes. Go on then.
So they start, the first layer is a striped leotard.
Mm-hmm. And by striped, it's like a bandeau for the breasts, and then a crotch piece.
And a
cap. Piece.
A cunty shoulder black neck. Shoulder yeah.
stripe. A shrug, that's, yeah. With like a mock neck. It was yeah. very chic.
With a high neck. And from afar, it looks like you're naked just with these stripes over, mm-hmm. you know, the breast, the
yeah.
chest.
Sort of like Fifth Element, you know, like Lulu.
Her white costume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they had a sheer unitard over that. They had a hood with a little hole for a ponytail.
The best.
And very long, tight, kind of sleek
opera gloves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, people haven't seen the piece unless they were in Alabama. So any feedback that I've gotten, like people came up to me at ABT when I returned and they were like, the costumes looked amazing. I loved the costumes. And that's
all they have.
That's all they had. Pictures. Yeah, but they didn't need to say that.
Oh.
They didn't need to say anything. I thought it was nice. I thought they came out great. They looked so good. Y'all did a lot of work there, too. You worked in the costume shop that they have at Alabama Ballet with a woman named Wendy, who runs the shop down there, who was she was an angel, and she sewed how many tags?
80
tags into the costumes. So she was put to work. What else about the piece do you think we should be talking about?
So good. And the dancers, like, really showed up.
Yeah, they did a great job. I was really, really proud of them and really happy for them. You know,
and they did all this hard partnering in gloves.
That's true. There's a lot of like throwing and spinning. Do you feel like I can talk about, I kind of want to talk about Daniel's experience, just because from a person who has previously had a traumatic injury, and, you know, I'm going to do my best to share this respectfully, and hopefully he's okay with this.
You could ask yeah. after.
Yeah, that's true. So, one of the dancers got injured rehearsing the ballet and was replaced by another dancer, as happens with, you know, the show must go on-ness. And the dancer replacing the other injured dancer had previously had two Achilles tendon ruptures, both sides. And the part that he was replacing was a male solo in which there was a bunch of like double tours and soda bosks and like big jumps. And he worked so hard. And, you know, I could tell at times he was really hard on himself and like wanted to do really well. And I could see him battling the same way that I feel rehearsing and taking class myself, you know, after my knee reconstruction. But, you know, in the premiere, in the first show, he did such a beautiful job and he like nailed everything. And after the show, he came up to me and he said, you know, I never thought I'd be able to do anything like that again. And like, just thank you and thanks for working with me. And it just made me feel so good to be a part of that for somebody, because I know how much that means and I know how hard it is to feel like worthy and good enough and like you even belong doing anything anymore. So it was just a really beautiful thing. Like, it's weird. I'll remember the dance, but in a way, like, that moment meant so much to me personally. Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was so nice to work with. Well, in the same way that audiences in places outside of New York are, like, more grateful to receive something, I think dancers in places outside of New York are often, like, more grateful to have opportunities to do things and, like, grow from people who come in to offer something. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience with the Alabama Ballet, that everybody was so
eager,
excited to, like, have a special thing made for them.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris, the director, Christopher Stewart, was telling me that they haven't had a whole lot of experience with creating new work. They don't often get new work made on them, so they were super jazzed. And speaking of jazz, it was a really fun jazz dance. Wow.
Incredible so jazz dance.
I really hope I can share more of it with you all out there in the future. I'll be creating some sort of, like, sizzle type reel and try and sell it to companies and stuff and get it licensed, because I want more people to see it. And I think, wait, what'd you say? Buy our dance. Yeah, buy our dance. Shameless. Yes. Anything else about Alabama you want to talk about? Let's talk about our meals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your favorite meal?
Cheesecake Factory.
Mine too.
Because we ordered a bunch of apps, mm-hmm. and apps are usually the best parts of most meals. Restaurants.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Unless you're going to something really
gourmet restaurants like the Cheesecake Factory.
Exactly. James, honestly, I want to say you made Alabama such a great experience because we were on the same food vibe, which doesn't always happen, and you were so down to just pick us up and go to Cheesecake.
Well, it was like really, when you dance with like a fun company, that's what it felt like. Like there was, it's always like, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah.
It's not always like that.
Yeah. Well, that makes me feel really good. I enjoyed having a car and picking y'all up, like, you know, soccer mom, going to Cheesecake, going to Chewy's, Tex-Mex,
P.F. Chang's,
incredible.
Going to the most empty Trader Joe's we've ever experienced in our lives to pick up boxes of ice cream sandwiches.
Yes.
And desserts.
It was not good to me.
I liked it. It was good for me, okay?
I liked it.
Those lettuce wraps slayed. My orange chicken slayed.
I liked the fajitas at Chewy's. That was my favorite.
Chewy's was really good. And those chips were some of the best chips I've ever had.
They were amazing.
They were so lacy good. Thin and saltina.
Saltina and warm.
Uh-huh.
Warm and crispy.
Yeah. And the salsa was so good too. They brought us ranch.
Yeah.
We dipped our chips in ranch, basically.
And they were bringing us shovelfuls of chips every time the bucket got low.
The most attentive waiter I've ever had, perhaps. And the least annoying.
Oh, yeah. Also, let's not forget Hattie B's chicken tendies.
Yes. Hot chicken. The medium is quite spicy, so be warned.
And the manager just gave us more free tenders.
Mm-hmm. They were good.
And the honey mustard.
Honey mustard's really good. What else did we eat? Oh, my God. We got biscuits and gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Alabama Biscuit
Jenny's Company.
Ice cream.
I didn't go there, but...
That was my favorite moment food.
It was so good.
So good.
Oh, I
Jenny's
wish I had done that.
Wait, we do have to talk about the Italian meal where we were served uncooked
bread.
Oh, yeah, that was wild. We got focaccia that was just dough in a basket.
We went to a fancy restaurant.
Yeah, sometimes you go to a fancy restaurant and you're just like,
let's go to the Cheesecake Factory.
Let's go to Cheesecake, yeah.
It was the heaviest
dough
focaccia. Yeah.
And they gave me like 3 strands of spaghetti.
I don't even remember. We got the shrimp spaghetti.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, so maybe not there.
I hear you liked your burgers at the place where I ran away.
Oh, Collins. Oh, at the Collins Bar in Birmingham, Alabama. Oh, goodness.
Delicious burger.
So
delicious
good.
Tots.
Tater tots. Incredible.
Yeah. But I do walk in places and just leave now because I'm following my feelings.
As you should.
As you should. Yeah. So, you know, if you don't want to be somewhere, go away from that somewhere.
Yeah.
You can make that choice,
Nobody
hopefully.
Nobody was upset. It was fine.
No. People are so rarely as butthurt as you think they're going to be.
Yeah.
No, they're not thinking about
no
you.
No one cares about anything.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, and if they do, I'm like, oh, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I feel like we should talk about the piece a little bit more. The creative team was really wonderful as well. The lighting designer, David Page, did such a bang-up job of, like, you know, programming it to the gills and making it look like a really exciting sort of contemporary rock piece.
It was concert timing.
Yeah.
To the millisecond.
So musical, like everything really on the music, which is a struggle, honestly, when I'm getting, you know, when I'm lighting things is hard.
Yeah. Well, thank God it's an album.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then Blaine Hoven helped. He was assisting me with rehearsals. And John Uplegger also was there, really, really helpful. Who am I forgetting anybody? Oh my God.
I just want to shout out Wendy again.
Yeah.
Wendy Gamble, who just not only entertained us endlessly, but was also so helpful in the costume shop. I mean, it was truly scenes from Steel Magnolias in the costume shop every day, all the time.
I've never seen a costume shop that looked more like a costume shop. Like, even more so than...
It was a set.
It was, like, organized chaos in the most beautiful way. It looked like a set of a costume shop.
It was a set of a costume shop.
It was, like, the Fame High School costume shop.
It was crazy. There was so much stuff in there.
And that, like, everything from tutus to, like, sequin jumpsuits. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful thing. I took pictures of it. Maybe I'll have my editor, LOL, put them in.
Why don't you talk about your process a little of making the piece?
Well, honestly, do you want to know more tea?
Yes.
So Chris called me, the director, and he was like, I'm doing a singer-songwriter program, and I want, you know, you to figure out what singer-songwriter you might want to make a dance to. And he was like, I'm doing Johnny Cash. And I was like, okay, singer-songwriter, like, let's get the money. Let's do Taylor Swift, and, like, let's have a good time with this. I was like, I feel like we could really do... I don't know. I really want to be somebody who can choreograph in any style. I want to be able to do, like, pretentious, like, sort of Max Richter classical. I want to be able to do Mozart and, you know, Chopin, all that stuff. And I want to be able to do, like, Prince and Lady Gaga. And, you know, like, I need to be able to do Broadway. I need to be able to do TV and movies. And so I was like, let's do the Taylor Swift and do it, you know? And then we could not get her people to respond and be like, yes, no, like, we don't care. Because a lot of times it's about due diligence. Mm-hmm. And even if you can't get, like, every T crossed and I dotted, it's like, okay, we tried, and they ghosted us for 3 months, you know? So I even did, like, a little workshop because I got this residency at the Baryshnikov Arts Center, and I worked on a piece with Sunmi Park and Joseph Markey from ABT to a Taylor Swift song. And when we couldn't get the rights or even a response, I was like, okay, better pivot. And then I was listening, like, I had a bunch of other ideas, and I was listening to FKA Twigs being like, this is definitely the best option. And it turned out creatively to be much more interesting for me to do, because it almost felt like challenging the people of Alabama in a way. Like, it was, you know, it's a southern state, and, you know, I didn't always feel super comfortable walking around as gay as I am in Birmingham, to be completely honest. So it felt like fun to have this, like, super queer tinged dance to make, and there are moments throughout the piece that are, you know, so gay, and I love that. Yeah.
I'm glad. It would have been hard to do something as interesting if it were Taylor Swift music costume-wise. Yeah.
Well, FKA Twigs is, like, a much more kind of dimensional artist.
I don't want to get the Swifties on my back, because I do love
Taylor. What are they gonna do?
Nothing. Nothing. I don't matter.
True, actually.
No, I love Taylor Swift. I'm going to put that out there. I wouldn't want to make a dance to her music if I didn't enjoy her music. So
she should hire you to choreograph her arena tour.
Oh, God, it would be an improvement. Sorry to whoever choreographed her last arena tour. Goodness. But then again, something that I think about often is, how commercial can I be while remaining creatively interested? Because I do have interest in commercial success. But, you know, a good lesson is, this is a great lesson, because I was doing an artist who is still incredibly commercially successful, but perhaps a more niche sound. And it felt more natural to me and more just easy. It was like, okay, I made the dance, you know? It just felt very comfortable and fun to do.
It's so fun to watch.
Thanks. I try to make entertaining dances. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It was very entertaining.
Thanks.
We, every time we watched a rehearsal,
I never tried watching it.
A dress. Yeah, we were like, yes.
Thanks. Thank
Here
you.
Here we go again.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I know that we're going to do a lot more together. So that's very exciting for me.
I can't wait till we do the Olympics.
Via Zempix.
I was watching A12. It's been hard for me to get through, but and I was thinking James would definitely like. I see your choreo on TV for sure.
Yes, I would like that very much. Yeah, I want to do choreography that makes me money, and also appeals to my senses and creativity, because I think that's just where it's going to be at for me, and that's great.
Yeah, we want to do costumes that make money.
Yeah.
Everyone's
I'm back at ABT rehearsing. Is that what the type of question you were asking?
Yeah.
And we have 3 weeks, well, 2 weeks now before we go into Met season. And once again, I'm having to go in for an injured dancer, and I wasn't slated to do Swan Lake in the first week of performances. And now I am. Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll post a whole like schedule and everything eventually. But things are still changing, so I'm gonna just wait until the last minute, basically. But I'm good. I feel like physically okay, considering, you know, 40 and have been hacked up and all that. So doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm excited for the season. How are you guys doing now that you're back? You're working on Pam, right?
Reed's working on Pam. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a piece with Kimberly Bartosik. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that the way I ate with y'all mm-hmm. in Alabama didn't...
make you a fat person?
Or just a... No, not even fat.
Oh.
Like, it didn't... I didn't feel... It's like my body remembered processing all that.
Yes.
When I was growing up in Orange County, and yes. It was like, this is fine.
Ah, yes. Yeah. The cast iron gut.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It, like, I thought I would have problems or something, but no.
Oh, man. Yeah. The food I was raised on really set me up for success in eating whatever I want. Yeah.
Same. Taco Bell, mm-hmm. You know, like McDonald's.
When's the last time you had Taco Bell?
It's been a while, but I grew up on Taco Bell.
Yeah. I like Taco Bell still.
I still do, too. A Crunchwrap.
That's
great.
The best thing you get. And a Mexican pizza.
Right.
Have you ever had that?
Yes.
Incredible.
Of course. I grew up eating Mexican
Sporks.
Pizza.
They have Sporks there.
Wow.
Incredible. More places need to have Sporks. Also, can I just say something quality of life related? Salads should not be eaten with forks.
What do you eat it with?
Chopsticks. Chopsticks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Chopsticks are the best way to eat salad.
Huh.
Yeah. And then if you're going to like a place where there are Mediterranean bowls or things like that, that's when you get a spork. That's when you get a spork.
I don't like a spork.
Yeah,
you can't actually fork with a spork.
Yeah, I rarely go for a spork.
Don't you come for sporks on this podcast. This is the Spork Right Side with James Bork Side.
what I have do you... a bad story.
Okay.
About coming back from Alabama.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
We're ready.
You've been teasing this. So, yeah, so Reed got here, and I'm making curry. Yeah.
Upstate briefly, I came back, and then, like, Sunday night, I put in my retainer. I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh, my tooth hurts. And it was this bottom tooth, which is a crown.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. So I was like, I waited. The pain sort of wore off. Came back. I took some Advil. It wore off. And then it just kept coming back. And then I was like, okay, so I really have a toothache. It started waking me up in the night. And then... by Wednesday, I was like, I have to call the dentist. I call the dentist. I go in on Thursday. Meanwhile, I'm being woken up by the pain. Thursday morning, the pain has moved.
No.
To this tooth, the furthest molar. And now I get to the dentist, and I'm like, weird news. I have a toothache. And they were like, oh, interesting. They took x-rays. They were like, there doesn't seem to be any, like, obvious problems with the x-rays. But... we have a feeling that maybe because you have such a, like, prominent filling in this molar, maybe the tooth is cracked. So we're sending you to the endodontist tomorrow. Now, I'm thinking, this is going to cost me $100 million. It will. So the next day I go, I don't have a choice. I'm just like, I'm sitting at the dentist's office. I'm calling about my insurance. Like, a tiny fraction of it will be covered. I go to the endodontist the next day because I think I'm going to become like Caitlin Devers and Dope Sick. Like, I'm going to be a smackhead. Because now I'm taking 10 Advil a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I couldn't think. Like, I couldn't function. I was like, my brain was
hurting.
Russell came to visit me at studio one day, and, like, we were eating silver rice, and then the pain began, and I just sort of, like, stared at him while he told his story, and I was unresponsive, and he was like, are you okay? I'm like, mm-hmm. I said nothing, and then I later told him, like, I had a toothache. He's like, you can tell me things. I was like, I felt crazy. I couldn't even speak.
Oh, no.
So anyways, the endodontist did all these weird tests where she, like, tapped and scratched, and then she did a thing where she made an instrument really cold, and she touched it to each tooth. And she was like, say when you feel the cold, and then I'm going to take it away, and then you say when you don't feel it cold anymore. She does each tooth. It takes a second. She gets to this last tooth, and I'm like, nothing, 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 feel nothing. She's like, your tooth is dead.
No.
Whoa.
Dead tooth.
So the nerves are rotten.
Well, I think because the filling had been so, like, traumatic to the tooth just gave up eventually.
Yeah.
And because the body, like, now had this dead object, it was like, and so all the ligaments and tissues around it were like, and I was having referred pain in this tooth. So anyways, she
like
did...
Like the trees.
Mm. So she did a root canal just right then and there.
Whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah, it had to happen.
Well, that's nice that she did it right then and there.
I literally left and, like, was like, I'm better.
Yeah.
And then 4 hours later, I, like, didn't have to take drugs.
Yeah.
I'm on no Advil now.
Was that your first root canal?
No.
No,
I had one when I was, like, 10.
I had one. It's not nice.
It's not nice, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I was numbed sufficiently.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, anyways.
Sucks. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, anyways, I'm going to have to get a crown, and it was expensive, and so I'm going to apply to the Rauschenberg, like, emergency medical relief thing.
What is that? Tell me about it.
So the Rauschenberg Foundation does, like, emergency medical grants for artists who have emergency medical procedures, mm-hmm. and they can't cover it.
Wow.
So I'm going to apply and see.
Good.
Can I ask how much...
$2,500 for root canal, then it'll be like another $2,500 for crowns and stuff. It's gonna be like $5,000 to $7,000 for the whole shebang.
It's a fancy mouth.
Honestly, she was like, we could extract the tooth. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, you can't see it when I smile or anything. She was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you think I should do? And she was like, well, you should keep your body parts while you can. I was like, why? And she was like, well, if you take this tooth out, then this tooth is going to start drifting, and then you'll have bone loss, and I was like, fine.
Keep the tooth.
They'll shift, and then you'll have other problems.
Anyways, I also
Who's that actor that has, like, is it Tom Cruise who has, like, only three teeth or something?
He had them moved over, because
his center line is, like,
instead of two on each side, it's like this.
I think it just like looked like that, but then he had them shifted. He had braces a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Fascinating. Anyways, I went to the ballet a bunch. I went to line dancing, and then I went to Andy's retirement.
Tell us about Andy's retirement. Congrats to Andy Viette on retiring at New York City Ballet. He's the only dancer alive older than me.
It's not true.
I'm kidding.
But close.
Yeah.
43, Andy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
43.
Andy, who I met when we were teens... And when he was in school still.
Yeah. And still doing all the tricks.
Doing all of it. It's unbelievable. Doing Same thing with Ermon. Ermon is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, the show opened with the... Daniel Ulbricht did the Ramonsky Solitude piece this week. And I just sobbed through the whole thing.
I heard he was amazing.
It was incredible.
Who told me about that? Somebody.
It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, Patty told me about that.
Talgalito?
Patrick Furnette.
Oh, he was there. I saw him.
Yeah.
It was stunning.
Yeah.
It's an amazing dance. You should go see it.
I've seen it. I saw Joe do it. It was absolutely exquisite. I wept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Andrew opened the show with the last movement of Glass Pieces, and he did the core. So he just ran out, and he wanted to do that one last time.
I love that. I love that piece. I love that piece.
I know. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. Run. So he ran out. He was the first one out, and he did the core. And then sort of like after the ladies' entrance, he was gone because he was changing for the next piece. And then he did this Lynn Taylor Corbett piece called Chiaroscuro, which he must have some kind of like
sentimental.
No one needed to see it, but He danced very well. And then they did...
He danced again after that.
Yes. Wow. And then they did Cool from West Side Story. Mm-hmm. And he was riff and he sang. And that was fun.
Wow. Oh my God, this sounds wild.
And then he got a break and they did Ballo della Regina. Mm-hmm. And
who danced that?
Emma Von Enk and David Gabriel were literally incredible. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen of that ballet.
Wow.
I really wish...
I love Emma Von Enk.
We really need to redesign that ballet. It looks like a recital dance, but it could look stunned.
Call us.
And then there was a weirdly... There's only supposed to be a pause before the last section, the pas de deux and the finale of Stars and Stripes. There was like a really long pause. And then you heard some like cheering from behind the curtain. And I was like, they're getting amped up. They're like taking their time. Mm-hmm. So he was dancing with Ashley Hodd, his wife.
Yeah.
And it was a debut for her. So they started the pas de deux and it was like seemed tight. Like, nothing went really wrong, but it seemed like not
uncomfortable.
Like not typical for Andy. Yeah. Like, and then they didn't do the variations. They just went right into the
finale.
The finale. And then when he and Ashley came out to do the like finale dance where they coupe jeté, you know, symmetrically, he just sort of like ringmaster kind of like gestured toward her, like, yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
And then you know the finale step at the very end where the flag comes up and they have to do like step, bop, ma, like coupe, tendu. Really? Well, he did one bop, ma with a flexed foot in his right leg and then he just put that leg down on the floor and he was like, he kind of looked at his foot and then looked back up and was like, that's all, folks. And he did not dance again and he did do a shoulder sit with Ashley and that was the end. So apparently what happened is he had like his calf seized between dances and it was not recoverable before Stars and Stripes. So they made a plan, which was smart. Mm. It was great. It was a great show.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds hard.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of dancing
so
too.
Much dancing. Yeah. Very ambitious.
Yes.
Anyways, it felt like Andy.
Yeah.
Aww.
It was nice. Aww. Anyways, those are my two stories.
Retiring.
My tooth is good. Andy's graduated.
Oh, what's Andy going to do?
No idea.
I don't know. Someone, he probably knows.
I hope he knows.
You should have him on the pod.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You really should have him on the pod.
That's a really good idea. I'm going to do that.
The only dancer in the world older than you.
The only one in existence in the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Are we watching a show tonight?
I would love to. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go finish making my chicken curry, Japanese curry, and we're going to watch a TV show. I don't know what we're going to watch. I'm watching TV. Hacks is my favorite. I'm watching Hacks right now. Are you watching that?
Uh-huh.
Love.
Should we watch Overcompensated?
Oh, yes.
We can start. I'll happily rewatch.
Me too.
Yes. Oh, I would love that. Okay. We're going to watch Benito Skinner's show, Overcompensating, on Amazon Prime TV video.
Was that a good podcast?
I'm not sure. But, you know, we're doing our best here, and it's the first episode in a long time. There was a lot to catch up on. I'll see you next time I feel like doing this.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for being here, y'all. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.